message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Jeanette and I are so thankful to have the opportunity to share God's word with you, and we're so blessed to have the opportunity to fellowship here as a family of faith at Maranatha. And so we want to welcome you, and we want to thank you for spending this Sunday here worshiping with us. I already know that we've been blessed by our time of praise and worship and our time of worship and our giving. And now we're going to go ahead and step into this word today that I'm sure the Holy Spirit has already begun to prepare your hearts to receive a fresh revelation. And we just finished this exciting teaching series over the past month and a half on providence, priority, participation, and provision by looking at the lives of Ezra, and also looking at the life of Haggai and Nehemiah. And then we looked more closely at the life of Nehemiah and discovered a man who lived the life that was satisfied, that discovered the hand of the Lord in his situations and in seasons of life, and then knew how to proclaim the glory of God in what the Lord was doing through his life. And these messages, as I started in the beginning of the year, these messages are these foundational teachings that we're using to lay a base for why we are expecting 2015 to be an uncommon year of blessing, an exponential blessing for the body of Christ. Now, again, this is conditional, because as we saw from the very beginning, providence is in the hand of the Lord, and provision is in the hands of the Lord, but your participation and your priority within the kingdom and for the king is also in this equation. And we see this working out through Scripture. Again, just looking at Haggai, Ezra, and Nehemiah as some examples of this. But we also took that time to look in the Gospels and see what Jesus even spoke to his disciples. And we also were exploring what the disciples were speaking of the ministry and their kingdom focus for the kingdom and the king. So we see this relationship is not monergistic. It's not a one-way street. It is synergistic. It is God initiating and we responding, and then God filling and then we responding. And it begins this exciting process of the life that is satisfied, that discovers the hand of the Lord and proclaims his goodness. Today, we're going to start a beginning of a series of teachings that I'm really anxious to share with you, eager and anxious to share with you, actually, because there are a lot of challenging areas that we need to be made aware of that's happening within the body of Christ and not happening externally to the body of Christ. While there are persecutions and there are challenges, there is a wave of internal debate and struggle within the body of Christ that we need to be made very aware of. And we're going to wrap this up in some context of what we need to be walking into moving forward. So before we even get into this set of teachings, let's just stand. And I'm going to read to you two areas of Scripture, and I would like you just to follow along. They both come out of the New Testament. And one comes out of Luke, and the other one comes out of Matthew. And the first one is from John the Baptist. But John spoke, "I am baptizing you here in the river." The main character in this drama, to whom I am a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire. The Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house. Make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. And everything false he'll put out with the trash to be burned. The other passage I want us to look at is as follows. I'm telling you these things while I am still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you, and I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset, and don't be distraught. Both of those readings come from the Message translation. And, you know, I want to share with you today, in the title of these next series of messages is as follows. It's time to embrace the Holy Spirit. It's time to embrace the Holy Spirit. You know the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. And that's very true. Because the moment you look at a picture, your mind instantly begins to form a story. You start asking questions. What are they thinking? What are they doing? What is happening in their life at that moment? Are they hopeful? Are they sad? And what happened to their life after the picture? Now, before technology, the first pictures we are used to seeing today through history, but before technology, the first pictures were drawings or paintings. So you see pictures of cave drawings, and then you see paintings of famous people, scenes of life. You see nobility, aristocracy. You see historical events captured on canvas. You see mythological writings from the ancient authors captured on paintings. And it was a way for people to tell a story and then be able to show a picture that would actually further your investigation of what is it I am seeing at this moment. Now, with technology, the picture changes because now we're able to actually photograph the picture. The artistry is moving to a different medium. So while there's still canvas and there's still drawings and there's still paintings, now we have an additional medium, additional form of artistry in photography. And in photography, what I find so amazing is we have an entirely new way of showing and experiencing life because the photograph captures things on a different level that we experience. For some, you may say that the photograph is real. It's close. It's personal. Now, I love pictures and I like photography. I think it's a wonderful form of art. But I am not a big fan of personal pictures because I know a personal picture is great at capturing a lasting memory and a magical moment. But for me, some of those moments are better left having been forgotten. So perhaps for some of us, some of those pictures we like to keep in the drawers because they were capturing a bad hair day, a bad fashion sense, or just a bad season of life. There are other pictures that you and I, the church, the body of Christ Universal, have also adopted and accepted that are forming a story today. When I mention God, what image comes to your mind? When I say Jesus, do any specific pictures come to mind? Of course. Perhaps it's a snapshot of Jesus from a favorite movie, a picture you saw in a Bible when you were a young boy or girl. Maybe some picture that you saw on the Sistine Chapel, where you see God reaching out and touching to touch the finger of Adam. They form pictures and they begin to create narratives of what you understand or what you think to understand God looks like, feels like, behaves like, and the same would be said for Jesus. But each of these pictures create a different story about the person they depict. They may bring you to a favorite verse, a favorite story, or even a place and time when you first heard about their name. But what happens when we take a few of my snapshots of Jesus and what I think they mean, and then a few of your favorite pictures of Jesus and what you think they mean, and a few of your pictures of Jesus and what you think they mean, and then we put all these snapshots of Jesus together to tell a story? Chances are, our story will not make much sense. It may even be incoherent, and worse yet, it may not even be accurate. We may find this harmless enough if we were talking about a favorite movie star or a football player or a scenic picture of a place, but can we afford such an exaggeration or misunderstanding when it comes to God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or His Word? And for that matter, what key person or piece of the missing puzzle do we need to help keep the entire story straight and make all of the picture make perfect sense without error or personal bias? Last year, we took some time to study the book of Jude, and in 24 verses, we were encouraged, we were challenged, we were warned, and we were reminded about being those who remain faithful to the very end. Now, I would encourage you not only to reread the book, but also re-listen to those teachings, because you will find that in those teachings, we are living like the Christians in the early church of Jude's day were living then. And in one of those teachings, I said, the reason the Western Church, and that would include the United States of America, is largely ineffective is because we have built an empire on a foundation that does not embrace the Holy Spirit. Now, please hear what I'm saying closely and carefully. I'm not saying the entire church is ineffective. I'm not saying the entire church is a project failure. I'm saying the reason the church in the Western world is largely ineffective is because we have built a kingdom on a foundation that does not embrace the Holy Spirit. And where there is success, it is largely being built on the appetites of a consumer society that is being fed a steady diet of anything other than the Word of God being shared with its congregants as revealed by and through the Holy Spirit. Today's church, I dare say, is feeding people pictures, snapshots of God, Jesus, and even in rare moments, the Holy Spirit, without any revelation by the Holy Spirit. Today's church is feeding people pictures from the Bible without giving people the full authority of a Spirit-birthed, Spirit-led, and Spirit-breathed Word from God Almighty. And just as Jude wrote to the Christians in the early church of his day, today's church is teaching heresy and apostasy by teaching people that all you need to know is Jesus and the rest of the Bible is not necessarily God-breathed, even if it is God-inspired. Today we have prominent teachers, large churches, well-read pastors, authors, in the Christian literary world that are encouraging people not to exalt the Bible above Jesus. And by doing so, they are creating a deceptive battle that does not exist. Jesus is not at battle with the Bible, and the Bible is not at war with Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Please tell me where in the Bible or any other source you have that you can find a single book titled The Book of Jesus. The entire Bible is a collection of the books of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and not just a single book, a verse, or an event that contradicts the authority, power, and purpose and mission of the King and the Kingdom. The Father, Son, and Spirit are in and have forever remained in perfect unity, and this work is a reflection of a unity that is revealed to men as those trapped in a sinful and fallen world. And therefore, we need the Bible, God's breathed word and inspired word, to be a roadmap back to the Holy Trinity as our only anchor to living in every generation and have the hope we have for a future redemption. Now, the reason this war exists within the church is because ministers and theologians are so desperate to find reasons to rewrite the character of the Holy Trinity and give an excuse and permission for a fallen world to remain trapped and bound to the spirit of this world. Unknowingly, they are allowing the spirit of this world to sneak in and play the role of the Holy Spirit, while the Holy Spirit is being largely locked away. And since he is no longer invited to participate within the family of God, then we have developed snapshots of our faith that do not represent a true faith, and the results are now disastrous. I contend on the authority of Scripture that the only person that will keep all of the snapshots of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit accurate and place the Holy Spirit in the proper context for your life today is the Holy Spirit. The only person that can reveal the Bible to you as true, tested, and genuine is the Holy Spirit. And the only person who will keep you from losing your faith and falling away in a season of deception is the Holy Spirit. Now you might say, Pastor, what about God? What about Jesus? They are and have always been one with the Spirit, and the Spirit has always been one with them. They are a perfect Trinity. They are three in one. To know one means you worship and know the other, and you cannot get a correct picture without any of them, and you will not understand one of them if you do not have a revelation from the Holy Spirit. But what about the Word? What about the Bible? Are you not saying, therefore, Pastor, that you are one of those who are worshiping the Bible over the Trinity? If I ask you right now, how many people here are worshipers of the Bible, I would probably think that most of you would not even raise your hands, and the few that would raise them because you're not sure what the semantics of what I'm trying to say is. The Word of God is not and has never been in any conflict with the Trinity. We are not called to worship the Bible. We are called to worship Him. But in worshiping Him, we are called to honor Him, keep His commandments, walk in His ways, speak His truths, teach His words. And in doing so, we are keeping not just a picture of the Gospels, or a picture out of Genesis, or a picture out of Paul, or a picture out of John, but we are keeping the full authority of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, because the full Word of God, as revealed by the Holy Spirit, always points you to His nature and His character, His way of living, His commandments, His warnings, His blessings. And so we worship Him, and in worshiping Him, we keep the fullness of His entire Word intact. And the only way we can do this, and the only way we can know His Word, is by having it revealed to you that the Bible, the full Word of God, is God-breathed and God-inspired and necessary for your life today. You must be willing to embrace the Holy Spirit for your life. There are no shortcuts. There is no plan B. There's no alternative text that will get you to the revelation of the Father, Son, and Spirit without the Holy Spirit. And if you hope to genuinely walk in promised liberty, if you hope to promote a gospel that is not a snapshot, but a full picture, then you must be willing to live and walk in a revelation of the Word given to you by the Holy Spirit. And perhaps when I say the Holy Spirit, another snapshot comes to your mind of a dove. And that would not be inaccurate, because that is in Scripture, but it's only a snapshot. Because what you see from the Holy Spirit is, through the entirety of Genesis to Revelation, you see the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's not just in a dove. And so over the next few weeks, we are going to journey through embracing the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to take on a near impossible task. Now, I just want to have a show of hands real briefly here. How many of you have come to the knowledge or understanding of the Holy Spirit through the experiential? That's good. That's good. About half the room. Now, how many of you have come to your knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit through what I call the intellectual or the studied? Okay, that's about a quarter of the room. And so I'm going to assume that the other quarter of the room haven't experienced the Holy Spirit in one or the other way, and this is new ground for you. That's okay. This is a great beginning place for all of us. Sadly, within the body of Christ, too often, knowing the Holy Spirit finds itself in one camp of the experiential or one camp of the well-read. And either camp usually does not find a need for the other camp to influence its opinion or understanding of the Holy Spirit. The result is we only get snapshots of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we miss the fully revealed Holy Spirit for your life today. If we're just going to talk about the Holy Spirit through the experiential, we're going to miss something. And if we just talk about the Holy Spirit through the intellectual, we're going to miss something. We're going to develop snapshots. We want full revelation. So here's what I'm going to say. Here's the challenge before you. Place what you know about the Holy Spirit on the shelf for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Don't get rid of it. Just put it on the shelf as best you can. And consider what I hope to share with you about the Holy Spirit. And then reinsert what you have learned of the Holy Spirit back into this. And then let's see what develops. Because we're going to revisit the Holy Spirit, and we're going to do so primarily through the life and lens of the disciple, later turned apostle, Peter. But in looking at the move of the Holy Spirit through his life, we're going to also discover other areas in Scripture where the Holy Spirit was already moving and continues to move today. He is revealing today. And I assert, if we hope to live a life that walks in the providential plan of God, experiences provisions, lives the satisfied life where the hand of the Lord is present in our circumstance, then we need to be a people who participate with the King and the kingdom, and He is our top priority. And I am convinced the only way we'll ever be faithful to such a walk is if and when we've received a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And the only way to have that present in your life is to actively embrace the Holy Spirit today. By the time we finish this teaching series, I hope the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the following things. One, that the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of all the promises of God for your life today. This is why you need to embrace the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of the promise is what we want. Two, that the revelation of the Holy Spirit will actually give you the power, Christ through you, mind you, but the power will now be available to you to overcome your circumstances. Three, when the Holy Spirit is active in your life, you gain a new appreciation for being the repentant son and daughter of God. You start to appreciate on a much larger scope what actually has gone into your forgiveness and why you walk the walk you live in holiness. But you need the Holy Spirit for that. And finally, that the Holy Spirit is vital and His presence is vital for you to continue to walk in the life of faith that is integrous and truthful. We all embrace integrity. We all embrace being truthful. We all embrace being overcomers. We all embrace gaining the prize of the promise. We all embrace the life that is holy before the Lord. And to do that, we need to embrace the Holy Spirit today. Amen. We're going to pick this up next week. We're going to look at those 4 points. We're going to break those down specifically. We're going to look at that through the lens of the Apostle Peter. And I am guaranteeing, as much as I can, because I know God's word is truthful, I'm guaranteeing if we open ourselves up to embrace the Holy Spirit, that the Lord is going to do something remarkable in our lives. Something new and fresh. So we're going to close today by just making ourselves available to embrace the Holy Spirit. It starts with a confession that we want to. And then we're going to do our very best to pursue a life that allows the Holy Spirit to move in and through our life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the power of your name. We just bless you. We thank you that you're doing a great and mighty work.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnion was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.